God has given us life. Something that's very difficult to explain. It's fragile. It's amazing how easily some people are put to death. It's amazing how quickly some people die in a traumatic car injury. Being a fireman, I have the opportunity to see a lot of that. Car accident happened on 369. No seat belts. There are two people in the back seat, two people in the front seat. Do you realize that if you don't have a seatbelt on, your body becomes a missile? And the people in the back seat flew forward and broke his neck on the windshield. And in the process, hit the person in the front seat in front of him and killed her too. Life is fragile. But today we're not talking about older people dying. We're talking about babies. We all have held a baby. Our own, others, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. And we hold that little babe in our hands and that precious little life. And we think how many millions of those precious little babies have been put to death inside their mommies on purpose. It's called abortion. Now, sometimes a woman's baby dies inside. And we call that a miscarriage. And we all know about that as well. I'm going to share some stuff today that's not my original. I'm giving credit to where credit is due. I want you to know right off the bat, these are not my words. But the first words are out of the Bible, and so would you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 9. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of God. Does God approve of abortion? No. I'm going to try that one more time. Does God approve of abortion?
No.
No, thank you. You're awake now. I think it is important to remind you that 44 years ago this week, January 22nd, 1973, and that's why the march should have celebrated this last Sunday, but didn't. But 44 years we've been killing babies legally. Do you understand that because something is legal doesn't mean it's right? And dare I say that because something is rendered illegal doesn't make it wrong? And you can take that wherever you want to go with it. I know where I'm thinking of going with it. But we know what is right. We know what is good. The United States Supreme Court concluded that a woman's constitutional right to privacy included the right to terminate her pregnancy. Now, they took a law of the United States that came to us in the days of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and said, now it gives you the right to kill a baby inside of you. Do you understand that that baby is not you? That is not a woman. That's not like her liver or her stomach or her pancreas or her kidneys or her other organs. It's a life, independent, separate from hers. It's just she has given it a dwelling place for up to 9 months. We all understand that?
Yes.
We have young people here today. If mom and dad have not taught you about the birds and the bees, kids, ask them some tough questions and get this conversation going. Any 12-year-old needs to know how babies are made and what God intends for our lives and so forth. The Supreme Court concluded that a woman's constitutional right to privacy included the right to terminate her pregnancy, and thus rendered the abortion laws of all 50 states null and void. Do you know that every state had laws about abortions? Yes. And most of them outlawed them. Over 55 million innocent babies have been put to death inside of mommy on purpose in those 44 years. 55 million. Clearly, America is guilty of shedding innocent blood. In his book, Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade, Clark Forsythe highlights a number of myths that have led to the ruling in Roe, myths that unfortunately continue to be believed to this day. Now, I adopted all of this from an article by Reverend Tom Stiles, and if you come on Sunday nights on regularly, you have all seen Tom Stiles. At least once a year I have Tom come and tell us what's going on in the state of New York with the laws and things like this, and he does a good job sharing. And so he wrote this article, and it was published in an email this week, early in the week or late last week. And I thought, I'm going to grab it and use it. The first myth is this. Let's go back. The first myth is this. Abortion was a common and widely accepted practice throughout history. I heard that. I lived through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. So I've heard all of this. So have most all of you. That is a lie. Why do we say that is a lie? This inaccurate claim was repeated throughout the 1960s. What happened in 1963? Anybody know? God was kicked out of the public school. No longer could you say a prayer at the beginning of the school day. No longer were they allowed to do prayers publicly in school. Now, not all schools followed that rule, but it was a rule that came down in 1963 through the Supreme Court. Do you understand why it's important that our new president picks the right person for Supreme Court justice? The Supreme Court, following Madeleine Murray O'Hare's complaint, took the Bible reading out of the public school, made it illegally to have prayer in the public school, etc., etc., and it's been interpreted and misinterpreted many, many times since. 10 years later, things had gone so far downhill that they decided that they could legalize abortion right up through the day of birth. Sick, isn't it? Almost all abortion methods before then were ineffective or potentially dangerous to the mother. True, unwanted children were still terminated. But this was done by killing a newborn baby child after it was born. Now, how many people would allow for that? None. Therefore, they came up with a way to kill babies before they're born. Roe v. Wade was based on a careful investigation of the facts. That's a myth. I'm not going to call it a myth. I'm going to call these myths lies. That's a lie. What's the truth? The truth is, when Roe Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton were tried in the lower courts. There were no trials, and the judges did not look at evidence. What does the Bible say about justice? What's the Bible say about the truth? Read your book of Proverbs again. Obviously, these people did not. One of the attorneys even stated that the facts don't matter. Now, what's the fact? The fact is life begins at conception. We understand that. Life begins at conception. I'll get to this in just a minute, I hope. I don't forget to mention what I want to mention. Although many of the justices who decided Roe v. Wade insisted on the importance of the factual record in other privacy cases, the investigation in Roe was likely taken up as just a procedural question. In other words, they didn't bring in doctors. They didn't bring in the people who could prove to them that life begins at conception. We now know that. And now that we have ultrasound, and now that we have MRI, and now that we have all kinds of ways of doing tests, and we can see that little baby moving around inside there and moving its hand and sucking its thumb long before it's big enough to come out of the womb and live on the outside. But they didn't bother with those facts. The free sex society of the 60s pushed to have abortion legalized in the 70s. Lie number three. Women were dying by the thousands because of the back alley abortions. Lie. What's the truth? The number of maternal deaths from all cases was 780 in 1972, when the population of the United States was somewhere around 250 million. That was down from 7,267 in 1942. What in the world was going on in 1942? World War II. Where were the women then? In the factories and in the mills, making equipment for war, airplanes and tanks and guns and bombs and military uniforms and so forth. They were out of the home. Being out of the home, they got probably involved in things they shouldn't. That would be my estimate. Of the 780 maternal deaths in 1972, 140 were listed as abortion deaths. Now go back to the lie, the myth. Women were dying by the thousands. Turns out in 1 year, 140 died. It's a far less than 1,000, isn't it? Lie number four. Existing abortion laws targeted women. What do they mean by that? Well, you weren't being fair to women if you don't let them abort. It's not fair to make them carry their children to birth. They have rights. How many of you saw any of the news on the March of the Women last Monday morning? Did you see their placards? Terrible, terrible things some of those placards said. You listen to any of the terrible words that some of those women said? I mean, filthy. Filthy. Vile. Vicious. Folks, my friends, we stand with the women and the men who marched on Friday. How many of you have ever gone to a March for Life in January, Washington, D.C.? Wow, not many of us. We took a busload from here back in 1992 or 3. We had a whole school bus full. Charlie Kark was driving. My job was to sit right kitty corner across and keep him awake on the way home. Literally. If I saw him kind of, Charlie, get him back in conversation. I've done that with some other people, but on the other hand, I've had 2 accidents because I fell asleep. So the March for Life that went on Friday, the news didn't talk much about it, did it? Gave all of the coverage to those wicked people on Monday. Now, I'm not saying every person that marched in that women's march was wicked, but boy, their leadership sure was. What a contrast when the March for Life on Friday was led by none other than our new vice president. First time in the history of the March for Life that a top government official participated. There is a change in the woods, my friend. There's a change in the woods. Virtually all states with anti-abortion laws treated the women as victims, not as perpetrators. In other words, that statement that existing abortion laws targeted women in a negative way is a lie. They sought to protect women from the error of their ways. The states understood that abortions were often coerced by others, like their parents or their boyfriend or their husband, and that prosecuting the woman who had an abortion was not enforceable. Instead, treating the woman as the second victim of abortion was the consistent policy of the states for nearly a century before Roe v. Wade. Number 5, I call it a lie, but it's called a myth. The destruction of the fetus was never treated as infanticide in American legal tradition. In other words, the law did not treat it as a crime to kill a baby. The truth is, the Anglo-American law, what's the word Anglo mean? British. British law. Anglo-American law, in a tradition inherited from the Roman law, had called the fetus an unborn child. What's one of the other passages we could have read this morning for responsive scripture reading? Psalm 139. Y'all know what that says? Let's see if I can find it real quick. Psalm 139. I will praise you, verse 14. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows well. My frame, or my body, if you please, my being, was not hid from you. Remember what he said about Jeremiah? He said, I've known you since before you were born. I've known you since the foundation of the world. Do you know that God knows the personhood of every human being that's ever lived and will continue to be to the end? And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Boy, those English, they just could not come out and say it, could they? Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. The word substance there is the word I believe we get our word embryo from. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Do you know God knows the length of your life? He knows how many days long your life is. And he knows what day it's over, and you're gone like that. Wouldn't it be great if we went by the rapture today? Yeah. Up. Instantaneously out of here. But until that happens, we keep on going. Roman law had called the fetus an unborn child or child since at least 1200. That was a while ago. That was almost 300 years before Columbus discovered America. They were still recognizing the unborn as a child. In the 19th century, that would be the 1800s, statutes enacted in 17 states referred to the crime against an unborn child. I should have put emphasis on those words. As manslaughter, murder, or assault with intent to murder. Most of these statutes called the unborn child a child, not a fetus, or some term which could undermine the full personhood of the unborn. Myth number six, or lie number six. Our abortion laws are mainstream compared to the rest of the world. Wrong. What's the truth? The United States is one of only 10 nations that allow abortion after 14 weeks of gestation. The baby in mama is the size of my thumb at 10 weeks. I read an article this week that a Christian lady doctor, one of her patients came to her, suspected pregnancy, and so they did a little mini ultrasound. We have incredible technology today, folks. She detected with this new equipment the baby's heartbeat, the baby's heartbeat at 6 weeks, when that baby is this big. The heart is already beating, folks. Is that a fetus or is that a person? That's a person. Amen? That's a person. Only 4 countries allow abortion for any reason after viability. Canada, North Korea, China, and the United States. Abortion is safer than bearing a child. Boy, there's a lie for you, huh? Truth is, this is one of the myths or lies that was critical in the justice's decision and has been almost entirely overlooked since 1973. This medical mantra, based on 7 journal articles with no reliable medical data, was countered in the briefs filed with the Supreme Court and its oral arguments. Now remember, all this stuff is coming out of one book, Abuse of Discretion by Clark Forsyth. And that's why you have see the page numbers up there. That tells you what the pages are where this was taken in his book. What did God intend for that little baby? Birth. Birth. And what did God intend for that little baby after birth? Life. Care. Nourishment. Nurturing. Teaching. Training. Educating. Guiding. Mentoring. Protecting. And bringing them to full adulthood. That's our job, folks. And most of you have done a wonderful job of it. Praise the Lord. And you young people, you're going to be doing that job of teaching and training and developing in time. Lie number 8. The country is divided on the issue of abortion. Well, what is the truth about that? Do the majority of people think we ought to kill the unborn babies?
No.
Let's find out what the facts say. While a large but decreasing number of Americans support Roe versus Wade, this figure drops precipitously when people are asked, not generically about Roe, but about what Roe actually allows. According to a 2009 poll, only 7% of Americans think abortion should be allowed at any time of pregnancy for any reason, precisely what Roe mandated in all 50 states. Only 7% thinks we still should be killing babies in the womb. Can you believe that? That isn't the way it's presented to us, is it? If ever there was a chance in the history since this thing became law, since Roe v. Wade became law, it will be under this new administration. That may be one of President Trump's hardest things to accomplish, is the reversal of this terrible law that has been responsible for the killing of 55 million babies. How many of you know that's a big number? Yeah. It's a very big number. I said this morning, in some setting, we think that billion is a little bit bigger than million, don't we? It's not. Billion is a huge number, but million compared to what you have in your pocket and your bank account's a great big number, isn't it? I don't know that we have anybody in our church that has $1 million of anything or $1 million of anything other than maybe seconds of time left. We're almost done. Lie number 9. The pro-life woman is an anti-woman movement. Friday, if you got to see any pictures, you know that the people who march, both men and women together, down the streets of Washington, D.C., carrying their pro-life banners, singing and praising God and chanting pro-life things, numbered a huge, huge number. And represented the mainstream conservative pro-life movement. We are not a small number of people who believe that God wants us to bring babies into the world and to love them, to treat them, to train them, and develop them into adulthood. That's God's plan, isn't it? Women are less supportive of abortion than men. According to a 2010 Rasmussen poll, 53% of women believe abortions are too easy to get, compared with 42% of men. Likewise, 58% of women believe abortion is morally wrong in most cases. 49% of men agree with the same statement. So more women than men believe that abortion is wrong. America needs to hear the truth. Because Jesus said himself, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free." When you know the truth, you can fight and argue against the lies and against the wicked and against the evil.